Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome to Advent 3. In the last 2 weeks so far, we've heard from Zechariah and we've talked about the light of God's grace shining hope into our life. Then on this past Sunday, we talked about Elizabeth and God shining his light of grace into our lives in joy. Tonight we focus on peace. And peace is that which overcomes all of our enmity. Peace brings people back into a relationship with God, back into a connection with God's design, creation's design, and with one another. But peace, real and lasting peace, is always an act of God's grace. It's the byproduct of God at work. And tonight we turn to the prophet Isaiah to help us see this light of peace and how it shines even upon us. See, Isaiah is called to be a prophet of the Lord. Yet the first words that Isaiah speaks in the moment of his calling are not words of shared peace. No, they're words of self-incriminating woe. As he stands before the throne of God, do you remember? He says this together. Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah is lost. He knows that he's a sinner and he deserves the just judgment that comes upon all sinners, the judgment of death. Here in this moment, as he stands in the very presence of God, Isaiah knows the sharp contrast between God's holiness and his uncleanliness. He knows that he's lost and he can't but remain silent. Why? Because he's a man of unclean lips. Moreover, Isaiah knows that he lives among a people who are sinners just like him. He knows that all are lost and fall short of God's glory just like us. In our sinfulness, we often remain silent. Still, the light of God's grace shines upon Isaiah. The angel of the Lord touches his mouth with a burning coal from the altar of God, a symbol of cleansing and healing, and he says to him, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Wow! Only when our guilt is covered by the mercy of God are our sins blotted out and we may speak freely. Only when the chasm is bridged can we cross over to God. And only does that happen by the grace of God. Remember, it's God's act of grace that saved Isaiah from his sinfulness, just as God's grace has saved us. And Isaiah would never forget that he was set free from grace. Well, I mean, his name even means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. No wonder then that Isaiah says together, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might and has become my salvation." And Isaiah's message for the people would point them again and again to that day of salvation. So that when one and all may rejoice in God's favoring and freeing grace, together they might hear Isaiah say this, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will call on that day. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted." Yes. The light of grace and peace restores a relationship with God. It grants confidence. It grants hope. And then this light of God's grace shining upon Isaiah, it enables him to take up his calling now as a prophet. So amazingly, when the Lord calls out, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Isaiah humbly but boldly, as you know, steps forward with his newfound peace and he says, "Here I am, send me. Send me." See, there were false prophets out there who would have a different kind of peace. Their message sought to soothe people, right? Placate kings in the face of impending terrors and invading nations. But their message wasn't based on God's word. Their peace overlooked the darkness of sin. All the people that had turned away from God had forsaken his ways. The people and the rulers had denied justice, compassion for the least of them, like the poor, the widows, the orphans. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah even spoke about what these false messengers would sometimes say. He goes, they've treated the wound of my people carelessly. There are people out there going, peace, peace. But there is no peace. In a similar way, Isaiah brought forth sharp words about such false messengers. He'd say, in pride and arrogance together, in pride and arrogance of heart, they said, the bricks have fallen, but we will build with dressed stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will put cedars in their place. Wow. Really? Now, please make no mistake. God would speak words of compassion and peace. And truly, we need God's peace to have real peace. But there's nothing that we can do to merit God's peace. In our sin, we're always running from God. We turn in on ourselves. We turn to our limited abilities. We turn to and bask in our own accomplishments. When we do, we're only denying the deep truth that we're afflicted and stained with sin, a stain that we can't wash away. See, when Isaiah answers the call, he finds the first word of the Lord for the people is not one of peace, but it's of judgment. It's a wake-up call for sleepy and sedated people. God would have him expose the people to the truth of their sinfulness. But even with this word of judgment, their hardness of heart would not allow them to hear. Because of this, Isaiah recalls God's charge. Do you get it? Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull and stop their ears. Shut their eyes so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed. See, God knew the people's hearts were hardened. They lived with this own false sense of righteousness, the sense of, oh, everything's okay. Their ears were deaf to the truth. Their eyes were blind to the word of God. And for that, they all would be cut down like a mighty tree. And sadly, even though the prophets knew this, they also knew that they weren't exempted from judgment. They knew that they were people of unclean lips and they were under likewise judgment. They didn't live in arrogance. They recognized that God's judgments were for all people, including themselves. Likewise, we should hear this prophetic judgment and hear it as it cuts us too. Why? Because we're also a people of unclean lips, hearts dulled to the word of God. We see the signs of violence and fear and foreboding, but I don't know, like if you're like me, we don't often turn to God. We trust false prophets that go around saying, oh, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Our hearts are hardened and sold to the false message. We don't hear with our ears. We don't see with our eyes the truth of our sinfulness and what it has wrought us. Who is to say that our own prideful tree of self-righteousness shouldn't just be cut down? And yet I need you to see that there is also healing in the midst of this judgment. See, the last word of the Lord that the Lord said to Isaiah may provide the best clue for his healing work. This is what Isaiah says. The holy seed is its stump. So who is this holy seed? Well, I hope you know by now it's Jesus, right? It's Jesus. Jesus knew that the people with blinded eyes and hardened hearts would not hear the word of God. He knew the truth of our sinfulness by the authority of his word. But the authority of his word speaks beyond judgment. His word is a word of peace. It's real peace. It's a real and lasting peace with God, with creation through him that we can share with one another. See, Jesus didn't dismiss the word of judgment, a word that sees through us all. Instead, he's the holy seed of promise that will see us through to healing and wholeness. Jesus Christ will take the word of judgment upon himself and give us instead his peace. For all of us who are judged as in sins, he proclaims, I heal them. It's only through Jesus' light and peace and promise that we can finally trust those powerful words of Isaiah about healing and peace. The words that Isaiah says, peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. We have this peace with God through Christ. We're found in our lostness. We're healed of our wretchedness. We're given sight beyond all the blindness in our life. See, from the felled tree, this new branch grows, a righteous branch. Indeed, Jesus Christ is the branch that came from the stump of Jesse, takes our sin and death to the cross, all so that we might be set free. Jesus Christ is the branch that blossoms even in the stump of death in order to heal us from all of our sins. Isaiah reminds us of this peace when he says, a shoot shall come from the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Even one of our most treasured hymns talks about this. I'm not going to sing it because I don't know if you'd want me to sing it. But these are the words that it says. Lo, how a rose e'er blooming from tender stem hath sprung, of Jesse's lineage coming as prophets long have sung. It came a floweret bright amid the cold of winter, when half spent was the night. Isaiah, 'twas foretold it, the rose I have in mind, with Mary we behold it, the virgin mother kind. To show God's love aright, she bore to us a Savior, when half spent was the night. Isaiah foretells the sprouting flower, the rose of God sent in the midst of the darkest winter together. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. God with us. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sent from heaven for us, the Son of God, the throne of God's righteousness, from the throne of God's righteousness, so that we might behold the light of peace. Jesus Christ came not prizing equality, but emptying himself, he took on human form, right? Isaiah. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us, authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and for his kingdom. See, Isaiah knew that grace wasn't cheap. It came at a cost. That's why he humbled himself even to the point of death, death on a cross. And through his death and glorious resurrection, we come to know the fullness of God's light and peace that shines for us all. Death and judgment are not the last word. No, no. Mercy and peace are. It's like Isaiah says, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. In Christ's light of peace, we not only have peace with God, we get to be bearers of that light of peace for the whole world. We bear it for those who are still stuck in the darkness of sin and judgment, so that they might be brought to God's healing peace. We get to point to the future, Christ's future. We get to point to God's working in the present, God's plan in Christ as it unfolds for new growth and blossoms and grows. Our fear will give way to peace one and for all. Isaiah says it like this. I love this picture. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Christ spells an end of this world trapped in violence and in death. In Isaiah's time, to be sure, but also in ours. See, we also longingly point to that day when violence will cease. I mean, can you even imagine? Isaiah says it like this. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Wow, to be sure, the world is tragically violent. And that evidence is all around us, and sometimes it's even within us. Bitter conflicts of war, the critical divisions between people, the blindness of prejudice, power, and greed that lead to deny the poorest among us, all those who are oppressed, yet we live in a world of sin. Yet as we live in this world of sin, we do not live in fear, because we have Christ's message of peace. And like Isaiah, we have a calling. We're called to be ministers of reconciliation. We lift up the light of Christ's peace for the world. Like all the faithful saints who have gone before us, we live in that promise. We live in that humility. And we boldly proclaim the good news for all we encounter. See, tonight, like Isaiah, may we catch a vision of the glorified Lord, cursed on a tree for us all, yet also as the righteous branch. And let's take up the mantle of our calling. Together, here I am. Send me. Send us all, O Lord. Send us with your peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.